Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Listening to the Psychic Professors Show, the Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes. This hit call-in show will answer any questions you have about spiritual communication through on-air readings and spirit artistry. Get ready to receive breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten your life. To say this show is educational is an understatement. Dr. Susan is the medium through which spirit communication occurs and fills the canvas of your life.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Susan Barnes, and you are listening to the Psychic Professor Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience the voices of spirit. Each week on the Psychic Professor Show, we will have some of the most knowledgeable spiritual voices helping to answer your personal questions. And I will open up the phone lines. The number is 800-930-2819 if you'd like to call in with your questions. And I'm really pleased today to have as my special guest Lauren Thibodeau, who is a Lilydale registered medium. Amongst other credentials that she has, she has been a co-author with me on articles about mediumship. And so I really welcome her here, and it's great to have her on the show.
Hey, Sue, I'm so glad to be a guest on your program. I've been looking forward to this. It's always fun to catch up with you and talk over spiritual things.
You know what? I think I'm going to do first, before I ask you about your background. I'm going to ask, do you remember how we came up with the idea for Psychic Professors?
I'm thinking it involved a glass of wine in my back porch in Lilydale. No?
Probably. But it was because we were trying to teach mediumship, and we're also writing articles and things about mediumship. So we wanted people to know that we were more knowledgeable about the subject area, or at least that's how I remember.
I was a medium before I got a PhD in counseling psychology. The reason I went back to school for more master's training, I already had an MBA, was because I felt such a personal need to have a better understanding of, you know, human development, human psychology, on account of when you're working as a medium, you're often getting into deeply personal, deeply rooted issues with people. You're talking about life and death and illness and all sorts of things, career dreams and goals and passions and failed relationships and all sorts of things. So
have you found that counseling has helped you?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've actually, the same week, within 3 or 4 days, I think it was, looking back on it, I've been a medium, about professional medium, for about 30 years, since my 20s. And then I ended up getting my counseling licensure test passed the same week I got passed at Lilydale, which I thought was pretty funny, especially since the very first time I gave messages at Lilydale, a woman that I didn't know at the time, I was just heading back to grad school and I was asking for a sign. She came up to me after I had delivered messages to see if she could make an appointment with me. And I said, oh, no, I'm not registered, just visiting medium. But we turned out we were both at that time in Cleveland, Ohio. And she was later assigned as my PhD advisor by the school.
Wow. That's pretty synchronous.
I know. It was really some good synchronicity going on. So I've always felt that spirit was prompting me all the way through this to have what I guess you could say are atypical credentials. You know, the real thing about being a medium, I would say, of course, you know, this is dedication and focus and practice. No matter how many years you've been doing it, you know, there's always more to be working on all the time. It's definitely a lifelong journey, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can attest to that. But anyway, so let's go back and why don't you tell us a little about more about some of the other things you've done as a professional medium in addition to Lilydale?
Oh, heavens, I've taught all over the place. I was in, many people in your audience may have heard of the Arthur Finley College of Mediumship. I was in their tutors training program, and so I did some training over there, but I didn't pursue it further. You know, I finished the training, but never really went forward with the certification. But I found some of the training there really helpful. So I taught there, trained there. I traveled there with photographer Shannon Taggart on her first journey. And that was, gosh, I want to say 2002. So I've been going a long time. And then I've trained in Spain, Canada. I used to teach for sort of educational centers across the country for adult learning. And I also, for a couple, 3 years there, I trained other professional counselors for their continuing education units for a large company that would send us speakers on the road to do these in-person trainings. So that was really fun because I got to develop and teach a whole program on the difference between the psychic and the psychological.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Yeah.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an issue that comes up periodically.
It does. And so, oh, you can tell just from this little bit that I've always had an interest kind of in both. And finding a way to combine them has been really nice. And I'm sure you've met many people over the years who, I know a lot of folks with mental health backgrounds who evolve yes. into mediumship. But it tends to go that they were mental health first, and then they evolved into mediums later. I think I'm one of the very few that started the other way. I was sort of a medium first and then went and got credentials just because I didn't feel I knew enough. Yeah. I mean, I knew enough about the mediumship. I just didn't feel comfortable working with people in distress. Maybe this is because I'm married to a social worker, a clinical social worker. But could be that. But I definitely felt a personal responsibility. And I'm glad I did it. I don't have regrets. Life's too short for that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I agree with that 100%. And I was one of those people that did it the opposite way. I was a PhD and professor before I started working as a medium. So, I mean, I always knew I was a kind of a closet medium, we'll put it that way.
Right.
Until later in life.
Well, I've enjoyed. You and I have worked together. I forgot to mention, we've done joint events for years, you and me.
Oh, yes, yes. And I would say that for me, one of the best events was working at the Morbid Anatomy Museum.
Oh, I miss that place. Those of you who don't know, the Morbid Anatomy Museum continues to exist, but not in a space in Brooklyn where you had a basement where we could do cool events. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's
great fun.
Virtually, and I am going to try and do a Morbid Anatomy event at the Spirit Art Gallery this summer.
Oh, great. You tell me when, I'll be there.
Okay, yeah. I'm not bringing any of the crazy. The Morbid Anatomy Museum was really interesting because it really was about death, but it wasn't just about dying, per se. It was all kinds of things. It was
It had taxidermy, and there were collections of death artifacts, and in the Victorian times, braided hair bracelets and things and ornaments. You know, they had, it was really interesting. They had lots of, it was kind of anthropology meets death science and anatomy too, you know, and it was, artists were involved. So there was a lot of visual to this. I mean, I think artists back in the day studied the human form, not only when it was living, right?
Yeah. But the funniest,
I think it has roots in that.
Yes, it does. It does. It has roots in the scientists trying to figure out how the human body worked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was a fabulous space, but
it was.
They lost their funding source during tough economic times, and they've regrouped. Those people they'll be back, no doubt.
They will be back.
They're going to be at. Yeah,
they're still around.
They're great. So, they come to Louisville too. Yeah, as you say. So this year we'll have to have, if nothing else, they'll have to come over for dinner. We'll make a pot of something and listen to the tales of adventure since they had to close.
Yeah, well, they do. They send out a list of their different events happening in different spaces. So I'm sure if people want to get in touch with it, they can look up the Morbid Anatomy Museum and they'll find all kinds of events and things that they do. But with this, we're about to go on our first break. So I'm going to hold that thought. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
And we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. But before we continue, I want to make sure everybody knows they can call in their questions. The number is 800-930-2819. And this show is sponsored by the Spirit Art Gallery, www.spiritartgallery.net. My guest today is Dr. Lauren Thibodeau, and I'm going to welcome her back right now.
Oh, Lauren? It's great to be here. I'm having such fun catching up with you, Sue.
Well,
two psychic professors, chatting it up.
Now we're going to get a little more serious. Let's start to, I want you to tell the story about your friend and how you came up with some guidelines on how to tell good mediumship from bad mediumship.
Well, oh heavens. I mean, I do my best to live in that non-judgmental place, you know, but there should be standards, I feel, for this. What happened is a friend of mine, I lived in the New York City metro area for 10 years, and then one of my best friends from that period in my life had a sister that I'd only heard of, never met. That sister came to Lilydale, and she happens to be a really amazing developing medium. You've seen her work.
Yes.
And she asked me, Lauren, you know, what can I do to get better at this public demonstration mediumship? That's a very specific type of mediumship. There are plenty of mediums who are very good one-on-one, but standing up in front of 200, 500, 1,000 or more people and delivering messages, it's tough. And she was wanting to improve her skill in that area. And so I came up with just sitting in the back watching her and thinking back on, you and I together were talking once. I must have, between us, I think we put it in that paper we wrote, over 50,000 messages we've seen around the world. I taught in Spain, England, Canada, across the U.S., you too, right? You've seen and helped train thousands of people.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of mediumship. And you notice certain things. I think one of the most important things is that a well-delivered message should never involve asking questions. That, for me, that makes me crazy. You should, a good medium never asks, is that your mother or your uncle, you know, or whatever. They never should happen. Never. Never.
Well,
never.
None. In the British training for SNUI, I would never allow the students to ask questions.
It's lazy because a medium can always take a pause and ask, spirit, is it the uncle, the grandmother, you know? One of the things my husband did years ago, have you ever seen, my husband do his, he used to call it, what did he call it? The universal message. And he would just do this shtick. It was hysterical, but he was making fun of really bad mediums. She'd be like, oh, I have a spirit here. I think it's a dead person. Do you know any dead people? And then it would be, oh, wow, I've got a presence. It's grandmotherly, motherly, maybe female, maybe not. You know, I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't. It was very pointed humor. That's the kind of thing we see too much of. And so never asking questions and being willing to go with detail. It's not easy to get people to go with detail. But that's where real good work really shines, you know?
Yes.
I remember once in England, or was it in the U.S., I trained with a British guy. And I remember we had done video of all our messages, and we were practicing, and I don't get animals too often, but I ended up giving a message to a woman in the group, in the circle, where everybody gives messages to everybody else. And I said, you know, and I see this and that and this and that, and all was well. And I said, and I see a cat. It's a gray cat, and it had a crook in its tail, and it was 13 years old when it died. And the woman got all sniffy and harumphy, and she said, no, it was 14 when it died. You're wrong. But the thing is, the cat was indeed, you know, gray with white paws and a crooked tail or whatever, because it was on video. It was very funny. And he accused me of being too detailed, and he encouraged me to be less detailed. And that's when I kind of parted ways. Philosophically, I just can't agree with that, you know? But
yes,
then again, I've had times when being really detailed has gotten me into a little trouble. I've given that sort of high horsey kind of speech. I'm going to be as detailed as possible, you know, as I give messages to you today. And only raise your hand if you can accept all the details, right? And one time I gave messages where everybody had an Uncle Robert who had a heart surgery, open heart surgery. And they were all sitting together about three rows from each other. It was in Lilydale, and all of them could take it. And I said he was 69, and then I had to interview each one, and I'm like, look, no, you said he's 68. Did I say 68? I said 69. You're out. You know, it's like that. You end up having to sort it a little bit, but detail can work both ways, right? It can knock you out of the game, but when it works, I think it really shows the best of mediumship. It needs to be detailed.
Well,
personal.
I think that gets me into maybe a little bit of a discussion about the difference between British and American mediumship, which is the direct indirect method. Because when you're using the indirect method and you've got three or four people who are taking all the information, in the British way, mm-hmm. you're supposed to keep giving evidence until you knock the people out.
Yes, that's what you do. But as a lot of American mediums will argue, in American style, you go, I call it bottom up or top down, meaning, you know, top down to me is the British style. You're working from spirit. They direct you, which is my preferred way of working, actually. Going to a person in an audience, sometimes you're working more from a psychic level, meaning person to person.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily mean to, but something about their energy or their neediness, or there's something that will draw a psychic more than a medium, right, into that discussion. And unfortunately, I think I see too much of that. The person will go, you there in the pink blouse or whatever, you know, and they'll start giving a message. And you're thinking, you're thinking about going back to school, aren't you? You know, that's not mediumship. That's personal to the recipient. Mediumship is delivering spirit, not what y'all are here on this planet already doing, you know?
Yes, I know. That's why when I try to go to someone directly, I try to get in touch with a relative immediately when I touch in with them.
Right. I think you and I both probably have, and others I know who have trained in both styles. We tend to blend kind of the best of both. In my experience, British mediums tend to continue giving detail after the message has already been accepted. And sometimes that can look showy. Like, it's about, look at me, the medium, when it really should be about the message recipient and the conveyor of the message, the spirit individual.
Yes, that's true.
But maybe that's the counselor in me, too.
No, but the bottom line is that a mediumship message should be healing for the recipient and provide them with positive feelings. Yeah.
Recognition, even when it's sad. I mean, sometimes it's difficult to give a message of, you know, somebody comes across from the other side of the veil, however you want to think of it, to say, I messed that up. You know, that's not always easy to deliver. And that's another thing. If I'm not detailed in a public setting, it's because maybe the counselor side of me, I don't want to put somebody in an uncomfortable situation. You know, like, say, a suicide. I personally never give, you allude to it, but don't say, I have a gentleman here who says he killed himself with a shotgun to the head. I mean, you don't say that.
Yeah,
but
well,
I've seen people do it.
Oh, no, I just had a student do that. I had a student, what did she say? I think she said a suicide that and I went back to her and I said, you know, you have to be careful with this. Because especially in a public setting, you don't want to upset people.
Exactly.
And there are ways
They leave without support, which is why I got the training in counseling, right? Now you see why I felt so compelled, right? It's that's why. I don't think, in my experiences, that even at Arthur Finley, I don't think they ever had courses in properly conveying the sensitive stuff.
No.
That's what we need to do next.
Oh, I did. I tried to do that for them. I tried to come up with some ethical things, but it didn't quite work.
We can do it here.
This is, but she's,
our next paper.
Our next paper. This is why I am always hesitant with people who are kind of self-taught mediums with absolutely no training.
Right.
Yeah, because they don't know the little details or the little ethical things that you need to consider when you're doing this kind of work.
Because, yes, you're up there for a minute and a half and you say something that is, you know, rocking their world and not in a good way sometimes, yeah? It can be very upsetting. I remember, this was on video, one time I gave a message in front of a group, the mom and granddaughter, it was grandma, mom, granddaughter. And they were, it was so crowded, they were seating in different areas. And so I ended up talking to the granddaughter, I think, and the mom was right next to her. And I was saying, you know, I've got someone here, and it turned out to be the older sister of the grandmother, right? Like, it would have been her great aunt, who died in the flu epidemic of 1918. This is a while back. The lady was well into her 80s. I didn't meet her till later. And the family's like, no, never happened. What are you talking about? My grandmother does not have an older sister. And then the grandmother, at the end, they were asked about the message they got from me. And the grandmother, they were all sitting on a bench. And the grandmother goes, well, it's true. I had an older sister who died in infancy in the flu epidemic. And when I was born, they named me after her, just like she said. One of those kind of things. So another thing people have to realize, I think, is that mediums often, we're often giving information that maybe families haven't been forthcoming about.
Yeah.
So all the skeptics out there are saying, oh, you know, blah, 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 you know, you didn't get it, quote unquote, right. But guess what? Sometimes people keep family secrets. I've had many experiences of this.
And hold that thought. We will hold the idea of family secrets because we have to go on our next break. So we will be back in a few minutes with the Psychic Professor Show.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, The Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
And we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. My guest today is Dr. Lauren Thibodeau. And if you'd like to call in and ask us any questions about mediumship, you're more than welcome to do so. And the phone number is 800-930-2819. And welcome back, Lauren.
I'm excited to be here. So I was just thinking, by the way, about the paper we wrote that was published in a peer-reviewed journal for those people who were wondering if it was just something we put in a regular magazine. It was not. It was a peer-reviewed journal. And what I find so interesting, I was just thinking about how very few people do practitioner and also research. I think that was a big change for you and me, right? We were the first medium researchers, as far as I'm aware.
As far as I'm aware.
I've been in a number of research studies. University of Virginia, Psychology and Personality Studies Department, the old Ryan people, all that stuff. But most people studying mediums are not mediums.
And we do have a caller coming in if you'd like to take a question. Okay, so let's take Anne's question. She's called in.
Hello, Anne, you're on the air.
Hello, Anne.
Ooh. Yes, it's me. Hi.
And your question
Thank you so
is?
Much for taking
Hi.
My phone call. I was wondering, can we ask any psychic questions?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, there is a person that I've known for some time, and we haven't seen each other lately, but we communicate in the email. From time to time. I was wondering if it's something that I should pursue or nothing will come out of this communication or this relationship.
I feel this person is, and this, just so we are straight here, is a psychic question. I feel that this person is a person who's rather busy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that he works kind of a couple days a week, and he is more like semi-retired. So I don't know. I don't think about him as a busy person, but maybe. I don't know. Maybe I don't know something.
Well, I think what
my feeling is, I'm sorry to chime in, but my sense, Anne, is that he sees you more as a friend than a romantic interest, but he values your conversations and your interactions, but I don't see this going down that romantic road.
Because we used to date, and he told me many times that he is interested.
But you've been pacing it down, right?
In a romantic partner.
He's been withdrawing.
He's been withdrawing
his interest, It feels to me like it's fading out.
He's withdrawing his interest?
I'm sorry to say. Yeah. He doesn't want to hurt you, so he's gently spending less time. But if you want to know, the best thing to do really would be ask him, are we still in a romantic relationship, or are you trying to move me into the friend zone?
Well, it was not like this. I was dating someone else, so I was due several months ago, and he said something that hurt me, so it was lots of going on, and that's why I just wanted to have a psychic insight. It's not as easy as black and white, you know, to say about this relationship.
Sorry to say, I just feel like it's in the waning stage, you know, like, it's not making you happy, right?
It's not making me happy as it doesn't progress fast.
Right.
Or to the point then, where I will be able
would
to
tell
see
him
the
that.
City.
I really would encourage you to just level with him and tell him, you know.
But
we
had for
great
the last
time,
4 days,
I
he even
back
didn't
there.
Talk to me. So.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I
that's
I
feels like
lady. Thank you so much.
Busy. Yeah.
That's what my recommendation
Thank
would
you,
be, is to talk, to really just put it out there and ask him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Claire, because this living in this place where you're uncertain is causing you stress, and nobody needs that.
Well, you know, sometimes you don't want to be hurt either to ask direct questions. That's why I'm more in this situation when it would be hurtful to hear something directly. And I'm not
How would you hurt him by
that
asking
likes
to clarify?
Answers.
You're just asking.
If it's something negative, that's
yeah.
why I thought I would ask you if you feel it will be something negative, because I do not want to be hurt either.
It doesn't feel negative. It doesn't feel negative. It just feels like it's less than it used to be, and it's not pleasing either of you. And if you are able to just level with him, I think you could really open this up and reconnect. But it will take some courage on your part to do that. You're right. It's hard to take that risk.
And with that, I'm going to
thank
you, Anne. And I hope we gave you
good luck.
Side. Mm-hmm. Good luck with
thank
your
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And blessings to you.
Okay.
But thank blessings you very much.
You also. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, okay, Lauren, let's get back. And let's get back on track with, we did a lot of writing about the differences between mediumship and psychic work.
And Anne's question is a good example of a psychic question. People who want, you know, they want guidance. We all do. You know, how do I handle this? What can I do to make this improve or change? Mediumship is a different deal. That's when the medium or, you know, opens to insight from those who've passed on.
Yes.
And if your grandma loved you and cared about your life, she's probably there, still concerned and looking out for you. That said, I think we also have to remember that our past on loved ones, if they had biases or interests, let's say they were, I don't know, Italian, and they always felt you should always marry someone of Italian heritage. They're not going to like the fact that you're dating an American-American, not an Italian-American, right? Perhaps.
Right.
So there's a lot of that in it, too, that we have to remind people that just because they're dead doesn't mean they're all-knowing.
Oh, that's true. And I mean, they're just because someone's passed on, they haven't all of a sudden been given great insight into things.
Nope.
But you know, your last comment also reminded me that when you are looking at mediumship, and I'm not going to say it's just a private setting, but even the public work, you have to avoid people that just give you general things that most people could take.
Yes, my husband's version of the universal message. Oh, there's someone here who loves you very much. Feels like a grandmother. She wants you to know she loves you.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
No, it's not enough. And I mean, the one that also gets me is, oh, I have your grandmother here. She baked you cookies.
Well, okay. I have to admit to baking cookies with my own grandmother. But if you told me I have your grandmother giving you green grapes on her steps, I would know that's her because she used to feed me green grapes on the side steps of her house. This lady lived in an urban area, inner city, and she grew tons of stuff on this little quarter acre plot, peaches, and oh my goodness. She was an amazing gardener, but for some reason, that's my memory of her. Cookies wouldn't do it, even though I know we baked cookies.
I have to tell you something funny. I did do a reading for a woman, and she was kind of testing me, and she said, what about the grapes? And it took me a few months, but I got it because what it was is the woman she was with had to peel the grapes because she wouldn't eat the skin.
Yep. It's funny you say that. No, I remember doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember so many things, canning together. If you talk to me about picking cherries from her cherry tree and canning peaches from her peach tree, then I know that's my grandmother, right? Cookies, not going to do it. Not to say that not every grandmother bakes cookies. I don't think I baked a cookie in my adult life, right?
Mm. I mean, I have one grandmother that maybe I did it with, but the other one I definitely didn't.
Yeah, so you know what we're talking about, and that's what clients, I think, need to be ready for. Generic does not work. Applicable to many, not good. It needs to have some specificity.
Yeah.
And that specificity can be around description of the person. People often wonder, why is it you always get information about how the person passed? And my answer to that is, that's one thing we usually know and remember, right? You might not remember your grandmother's birthday, but you do remember that she passed from Parkinson's or cancer or a heart attack or whatever, right? We know, we remember the end times. It's not meant to be depressing and sad, but it's verifiable data.
Yes.
So a lot of people need to be ready for verification, but...
And they also have...
Again, the family secrets.
Right. They also have to be open-minded enough that if the medium's telling them something and they don't know, that they say they don't know and they go home and check it out. The other thing
is... I had someone a few... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. They should also know that you can say no to a medium, that it's
absolutely
acceptable, and it's even better if you let the medium know that something isn't quite right.
Well, I remember, though, I didn't know you then, but there was a time I was in front of a huge crowd. It was like standing room only back at the Lilydale, you know, main stage there and out in the woods. And oh, my heavens. And I went to this little lady and I told her there was a woman who had come to her to thank her for holding her hand while she died. And this lady was about 82 pounds, but she had a voice like a foghorn, right? And she's like, nah, that never happened. I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was so certain of it. You know, and I had to do sort of the walk of shame out. Then this woman chased me down the path crying. In the moment, she was in her 80s. She didn't remember 75 years ago, 78 years ago, whatever. It was true. There was her mom had taken in boarders during the Depression to make money, right, to feed mm-hmm. the family and all. And she did indeed hold the hand of a boarder that lived in their home.
Okay.
That's the thing. People expect the people you think you're going to get. They don't think that you're going to get folks like a boss
like
that remembers how what a great worker or a lady like this.
And with that, we're going to take our next break, so we'll be back in a minute.
Have you discovered the remarkable books at angelhealinghouse.com? Author Claire Candy Hoff has channeled rare books of inspiration and insight.
Angels of Faith is an inspiring story of healing, comfort, and hope that reminds us that death is not to be feared, but embraced with joy.
One True Home, Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness, takes readers on a roller coaster ride through Angel Ariel's five most important lives on Earth, as well as her experiences in the afterlife, and helps us remember our own journey across the veil.
And Claire Candy's autobiography, I Am an Angelic Walk-In, which details the 2003 soul exchange that took place when Claire Candy walked out of her body and Angel Ariel walked in, creating heaven on earth for herself and others.
To find out more about these wonderful books, visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
And we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. My guest today is Dr. Lauren Thibodeau. And I want to remind you all that this program is sponsored by the Spirit Art Gallery at www.spiritartgallery.net. And you can go there and get information about trying to get a reading and about our activities in and around the Lilydale area. So please check out the site. Now, Dr. Lauren, what are all...
Yes?
I wanted to end the program giving people some tips on, like, how to find a medium and, you know, sort of expectations that people should be aware of when they go to a medium.
Yeah, that's a really great area to look into. People, I know it's a whole different thing, but I think of it as like hiring a contractor. You ask for friends' evaluations and reviews first, or a doctor, dentist, hairdresser, anything. Ask your friends, number one. And remember that fame does not equal better. A lot of us kind of lay low by choice. You know, I was offered many opportunities to... you kind of be out there in the media, and I didn't want to do it because it didn't respect mediumship to me. It was all about competition and so on and so forth. And I saw, and still do, always have seen mediumship as a collaboration. It's a collaboration between you and spirit. And why would you pit mediums against each other, psychics against each other? No, it's not a contest. There's no one best medium. You know, it does have a stylistic thing, just like anything else. Some people are, if you're looking for a therapist, some people want a therapist who's going to say, here's what you should do. Very directive, we call it. Then other people might want the kind of therapist who says, tell me more about that. You know, like more open-ended. It's you have to know your personal style. And I think it's wise to start with your own circle.
Yes, but I think you also brought up another point in that description, which people don't understand, which is that the highest priced medium is not always the best medium. That even student mediums give good messages. So you don't need...
Now, I've always structured my pricing to be about twice what I would charge as a PhD level counselor, you know, psychological counselor, right? Some people would say that's too much, but to me, look, I have an education and a training and a licensure. So, but if I was a therapist in private practice, I would see people for 6 to 10 times, right?
Yes, yes.
A medium, as a medium, you're seeing people or talking to people. A regular to me is twice a year, because I refuse. Personally, I just have a thing. I don't want to talk to you more than every 3 to 6 months, because most life changes take longer than that. So I'm not going to add anything to the discussion if you call me too often.
And I agree. And I would say also this, that there are places where people can go, where they can find mediums that for less expensive prices, like spiritualist churches, when they have special types
of... And I, for years, have sponsored forums at SeekerCircle.com. I bought the site from a friend years and years ago, and it's a mess, I have to admit. But I keep it up there and support it, because it's a place where people can post questions and developing mediums and psychics answer them.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean,
there are for 20 years. Yeah.
There are ways, and, you know, and some...
Lots mediums of ways.
Yeah, that do it more in church are doing it because they do service, you know.
It's hard to find a spiritualist church, especially in the U.S. There are more spiritualist churches in England than there are in the entire U.S., and England is way smaller. So, yeah, it's tough.
Oh, I know.
But you mentioned SNUI. There are ways people can connect.
Yes, there are, and I'm blanking on the name of, there are organizations that also help people to hook up with mediums for reasonable prices. So we, you can, but
there's a downside. There's a downside to too inexpensive, however, which that sometimes can allow the person to develop a bit of a dependency. If you charge $20 for a reading, it's easy to get a reading more often than, quote unquote, is helpful or necessary. So my thinking is pay more, less often. Not, you know what I mean? Because to get it, you know, if you call me all the time, it becomes potentially a dependent relationship, rather than an empowering one. My goal with people is to empower them, right? Help them grow into the place where they don't need me.
Right.
And I have long had a policy. My assistant of 15 years, my lovely Sarah, she knows. She used to, in the very early going, she'd be like, oh my goodness, this person needs an immediate reading. And I would say, Sarah, nobody needs an immediate reading. If they need an immediate anything, it's an emergency. And getting a reading is not an emergency, right? If you need something right now, that's a call to the ER or a crisis line, right? No, no. Nobody, a reading is not immediately needed. If you feel a need to have a quote unquote sort of an emergency reading, you don't need a reading. You may need a counselor or something else. But what we do, Sue, as you know, isn't emergency.
No.
Or it shouldn't be.
And the other thing is, I did...
It's more take your time, think it over, help you reevaluate your life. You know, it's about helping you grow and evolve. It's not about solving an immediate issue.
Yes, yes. It's about trying to help you on your spiritual journey. But oftentimes,
precisely,
we get a lot. I know I've been getting a lot of people who've lost children. And the place that you can go where they have very reasonable readings is Voices Across the Veil. They've been here on the show. They're really good, and they really check their mediums out very well. So
I was assessed and cleared years ago by Family Forever Foundation's another good one.
Yeah. So it is. I mean, make sure that the medium has some training and some credentials. And bottom line, though, is you have to work with your intuition. And with that said,
and I would say, too, 5 years or more experience. Because if someone's a flash in the pan, it won't last that long. So you want someone who's been doing this a while.
That's right. So experience and look for credentials and look for your own intuition. And with that.
And referrals.
At the end of the show. So I'd like to thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
For being my guest today.
Oh, and thank you, psychic professor friends.
Goodbye till next week.
You've been listening to the Psychic Professor's Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, the Voices of Spirit Radio. Dr. Barnes' deep knowledge of spiritual issues provides an hour of lively talk and discussion about everything from historical facts to transcommunication. To download this show or any past shows, or to learn more about Dr. Susan and her spirit-inspired art, visit spiritartgallery.net.